Good morning. It's good to see everyone. My name is Gina Nicola, and I'm on staff here at New Life Church as part of our care and counseling ministry. But I'm also part of this teaching team, and I'm super excited to be here with you because 1 week from today is... Woohoo! It's my favorite time of year. I love Christmas, and so I hope you're enjoying this time and all that it brings us, where we see lights and all the things that are going on, where we're singing songs, we're adoring Him, we're shouting out for Him and coming to Him at this time that we were given a Lord and Savior. Now, I know the world can kind of get us kind of frantic in a way, in which we're trying to buy gifts, we're trying to ship gifts, we're trying to get our houses ready for the families to come, we're trying to get our act together so we can go. We are trying to get all the same outfits on so we could take our holiday picture and we all look alike. And so we're trying to get our things done. And for some of us, it can be a little overwhelming and a little frantic at times. Like the lady that I heard about who, no matter what she does, this one time, she always sends out Christmas cards. And she got to the very last minute and realized we didn't send out our Christmas cards, but she's not giving up the tradition. So she takes off, she goes to the drugstore and she buys that box of 50 identical cards that you can have, gets them home, signs them, ships them off, happy that she got her Christmas cards out. Then a couple days later, she sees one of the cards and she picks it up and it occurs to her that she never read what was on the inside of the card. So she opens it up and to much shock and dismay, it reads like this. This card is just to say a special gift is on its way. Kind of incredible, but that's how frantic we could get, that we could not really pay attention to all the details at times. So hopefully you're getting the opportunity to really engage in the Christmas season and into the true spirit of what it is that we are celebrating, and that is the birth of Jesus. And so if you haven't been with us, we've been in a series called The Gospel and the Carols. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Dave brought to us Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And we looked at where to find the gospel in that Christmas carol. Last week, we looked at a more modern Christmas song. Pastor Matt brought to us Mary, Did You Know? And then today, what we're looking at, which is I think I got the best one, which is Joy to the World. And we're going to look at what this means and how to find the gospel in Joy to the World. Now, so you know, Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts. He wrote hundreds of hymns, and it was published in 1719. And he published it in a book called The Psalms of David. And he published all these hymns. Some of them you might know, like Behold the Glories of the Lamb, or When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. He's best known, though, for Joy to the World. And so Isaac got into writing hymns because in his time, he observed as a young man, because he started writing them as a teenager, that he realized that the songs that they were singing in church were kind of monotonous. Because what they would do is take the Psalms or take scripture and just put it to music. And he would do word for word out of the Bible. And he found that there wasn't a lot of expression of joy or emotion in these songs that they were singing. So he started writing his own hymns. And so he wrote Joy to the World, which is actually a paraphrase of Psalm 98. And so in your bulletin, if you came in, if you got a bulletin, if not, if you're using your phone or your iPad, you'll see that Psalm 98 is in there. It's also going to be on the screens, but I'd like us to read through it. And it reads like this. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout with joy for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. So you see the connections as you read through Psalm 98, especially verses 4 to 9, which is what he really paraphrased in this psalm. You can find the connections to Joy to the World, the hymn that was written. Now, the psalmist sets us up for why we should be joyful. In those very first verses, we see the reasons that God has done marvelous things, that he's made his salvation known, that he's faithful, he's full of love, and the whole earth has seen his salvation. But then we go in to verses 4-9, and we see all that will give joy and shout for joy. And so what I want us to do is to look at Isaac's hymn, Joy to the World, and pull out the points and where we can find the gospel in this hymn. So the very first point that we're going to look at is shout for joy, Jesus is coming back. Shout for joy, Jesus is coming back. The first verse of the first stanza says, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Now, I don't know about you, but many people, I think, believe that this song is about Jesus being born. Our Savior is finally born in a manger. God fulfilled his prophecy and said he would give us a Messiah. But the reality is, this song is not about Christ's birth. It's actually about his second coming. So the first thing we see is that Jesus is coming. Because what says, it continues on and says, let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Can we actually say that every heart prepared room for Jesus when he was born? Did the whole earth acknowledge him as king? They didn't. So we know it's about his second coming. In Isaiah 53:3, it says this. He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. See, all our hearts were not receiving him. We know people today who still do not accept him as Lord. So this has to be about him coming back, about who we will all acknowledge as him being Lord. But he had to have a first coming in order to have a second coming. And so that first coming, Christ born, given to us, in a manger, why did he come? Why was Jesus given to us? He came because in John 3:16, that verse that we're all familiar with, that we see everywhere, but not everybody really owns. The reason is that God gave us his son, his only son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life, that he came to repair the relationship between people and God the Father. He came so that way we can no longer be apart from him, but we can have a direct relationship through Jesus to our Father. And so he came the first time for so much reason, and then he died for us. And he bore all the sins of the world. And like when we took communion this morning, we're remembering him. All of the struggles, the sin, the weight of the world, like Matt said last week, on his shoulders. But he didn't just die. He rose again and he defeated death. He is king. And so we see that he will come back. But then the next thing that we will see, the next point, shout for joy, Jesus is Lord. The next stanza says, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. In Philippians 2:9-10, it reads this. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. All creation will praise him. The hymn reads, the fields, the floods, the rocks, hills, and the plains, they repeat the sounding joy. See, do we really understand that all creation, all of the world will call him Lord, that he will be the King of Kings? No one will be able to say otherwise. I know we know people who do not know him yet, but yet it will not matter. When he comes back, all will know. The under the earth, the earth, the hills, the rocks, the sea. In the verse 7 of Psalm 98, it says this. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Think about it. how incredible will it be to see everybody bow before our Lord and our King? Think about the biggest venue you've ever been in, where there's tons of people looking at one person and they're excited or they're applauding or their whole attention's at that one person in that venue. Now picture the entire world kneeling at Jesus' feet. It's a pretty overwhelming picture, and yet so much to be joyful for. We can shout for joy. He is coming back because he is the Lord. Now, this next part that we're going to look at, point three, many of you might not know, we didn't even sing it today, but there's actually a third stanza in Joy to the World that was written by Isaac Watts that we don't actually sing. So if you're curious of what it is, it's on the back of your bulletin. I wrote out the whole song for you, but it's actually not from Psalm 98. But it tells us this. Isaac wants us to know that we can shout for joy because Jesus sets us free. Jesus sets us free. See, the stanza reads like this. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. See, this is coming from Genesis 3. And if you don't know, it is the most tragic part of the Bible, where man falls, where Eve is told by the serpent that she can eat from the tree, where she says we're not supposed to, but he's like, go for it, just do it, why not? And so she does. And then she also gives it to Adam and he eats from the tree. And in Genesis 3:17, it says this, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. Can we relate to the curse, to the sin that we still see, to the rippling out of all the struggles for how hard it is, the thorns in the ground? In Romans 8:22, it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to present time. We all know what it's like to deal with this curse. We all know how much we groan within our bones for things to be different. No matter who we are or where we have come from, we have that longing for something to be different. In Matthew 13, we can read about the soils. And one of those soils is the thorns coming up into the soil and causing the seed, the good seed, to be pushed out. And it grows too fast and everything's messed up. And so we today can still relate to difficult soil, having a hard time getting crops to grow, not enough water, land not being that great. We know what it's like for the curse to be there. But I'm here to tell you, and in the song, Joy to the World, that not only is he coming back and he's going to be Lord, and he is Lord, but that we will be set free. We will be set free. He wanted us to know this, that there will be no curse, no more, no sin, no pain, no sorrow, and no suffering. But do we really understand why? Do we know why we won't have that anymore? Well, in Hebrews 10:12-13, it says this. But after Christ offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God. And now Christ waits there for his name to be put, or for his enemies to be put under his power. See, in Hebrews, the writer is writing us and he's letting us know, he's comparing Jesus to Levitical priests. Now, what is it about Levitical priests? Their work is never done. So they have to stand when they work, which means they continuously stand and it's never over with and it's never done. But Jesus, the highest priest who died for us, made one sacrifice. One, there's nothing else that needs to be done. He died and rose again for us, and he now sits at the right side of God. See, the writer in Hebrews is pointing out the posture of Jesus. He's saying that the priests have to keep standing. Their work's never done. Jesus dies, rises, and sits at the highest place of honor next to God. We, as people, all creation, we will kneel and we will bow before the Lord. We will not sit next to him. Do we know that the angels do not sit in God's presence? In Luke 1:19, Gabriel comes to give him a message, and it says that he stands before the Lord. Jesus takes the highest place of honor. So when he comes back, when he is Lord, he will set us free from the curse because of the one thing that he did for all of us. And that is he repaired our relationships with God the Father, because God the Father loved us so much. He wants relationship with us. He wants to have you and him talk to him. He wants us to pray and be there with him. He wants us to be joyous. He wants us, when we struggle, to run to him. He wants to be right here, right now, with you, every moment of every day. So then we move on. And we see in the last point that we shout for joy because Jesus makes all things new. Jesus makes all things new. The last stanza says, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. See, these verses reveal God's glory. All will profess his glory. All will know that he is Lord. Everyone and everything will be subject to God's hand, his mighty, sovereign, loving hand. Do we know that every mistake we made, every choice, bad decision, every war, every time that things were going great or we were prosperous, he will use it for his glory. It will be all about him. Now, it hasn't happened yet. And when I was studying this, I thought it could happen any day now. It's so exciting to think that he could come. We have so much to look forward to, but it's not here yet. But see, I think it's amazing that we sing this song at this time of year, because it is important at Christmas to look at the grace that's been given to us in the past, the gift of Jesus, a Savior. But it's also important to look at the grace in the future and the things to come, that he's coming back and that things will change and all things will be new. See, we'll have a time where we'll be able to sing these words and be able to proclaim the ultimate joy, the ultimate joy. And this is why we can sing Joy to the World at Christmas. Revelation 21:1-5 says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Surely there will be a day that we can say this. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove his glory. So as we end this morning, what I want to do is pray together. But I want to encourage each and every one of you to take time in this next week to share your joy with the Lord. Share your joy with each other. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to look forward to. And I know we are praying for so many to know him, to see him as Lord and Savior, to finally give it up and release it and experience true love and a full life. And so as we leave here today, I hope that you leave and take the opportunity to share your love for the Lord, because he's constantly loving on you. And as we share our love, and as we go through this week, and as you come back next week for Christmas Eve, what we saw here today is all of us gathering together and pouring out our hearts and being blessed with the gifts of wonderful talent, of amazing people. But we all have so much to give as children of the Most High God. And so let's stand and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for each and every person that's here. We're not here by accident, Lord. You knew we were coming before we knew we were coming. And so, Lord, we just want to take this time to say thank you, to say how joyful we do feel in our hearts and in this time that we can give you praise and glory and honor for all who we are, what we have, and what we do. So, Lord, I give you each person, every person in this room, and all those people that we're thinking of, Lord, and we trust and we believe and we know that you are working in every life. And it is awesome and it's wonderful and it is amazing that one day this entire world will call you King. And so, Lord, I give you this church and I give you my friends and my family, Lord. And I just pray that we would continue to glorify you. And in Jesus' name, everyone said, you guys have a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas. We'll see you next week.